So we did 4 years of Immortal.
Finishing at Edinburgh? No, we did
Edinburgh in 2006. Yeah. And in 2007...
Did we do more than Avignon? Was that Taboo?
I think we did Taboo at Avignon.
Okay. I seem to remember at the end of every show, at the end of Immortal, at the end of Taboo, the last show at Taboo was in Edinburgh, and we won a Total Theatre Award. And in theory, you know, on the back of that, that show could have gone on to sell for years and years and years. But we finished it because we wanted to do a new one. And I seem to remember a similar story about Immortal, but I can't remember where it was and what it was.
Did we not finish? I can't remember where we finished him. It wasn't Tower Bridge, was it?
It might have been Tower Bridge. Now, there's some stories that we can't put on tape.
I think somebody already has.
Okay.
So, we decided after 4 years of Immortal. That's something that was quite interesting, because actually the Immortal show really developed over those 4 years, and it really developed our practice over those 4 years, and the way we worked and how we could then attract. The profile meant that we could attract a higher level of circus artist.
Mm-hmm.
But also we lost some of the people that were part of the family.
Yeah.
And it became more about us driving it than a kind of communal event, if you know.
Yeah. I think, you know, we kept through Immortal and we kept through Taboo the core of the family and the really dedicated people who were up for working at it and developing their skills and keeping up with the growth that the company was going on. And there were some fantastic people through that period who, you know, are as responsible as we are, really, for getting it where it was. You know, the Barnes's and the Howies of this world who kind of came with us through that whole journey.
Shana, yeah. Marco.
Yeah. Real, you know, the core of people. But at the same time, you know, we were going places and we were encountering other performers, and people were coming up to me and saying, you know, we want to do this sort of work, we want to work with you, you know. And, you know, I always say, you know, the best people are the ones that found us, and the best people are the ones that, you know, want to be a part, you know, saw what we were doing and wanted to be a part of it. And we began to develop a new family.
Yeah, and Taboo had its own new family that were pretty committed to the project throughout. Mm-hmm. With new people like Natalia and Vanina and Foucault and...
Yeah, great people. Great people, as are the people here in Bianco. I think, you know, that seems to be, you know, with the people, Immortal was a chapter, Taboo was a chapter, and Bianco was a chapter, and that's kind of right and proper, because actually, you know, in circus, people do the tricks that they do, and we can reframe them into the show differently every year. But if you want to present a new show, you've got to accept that you need to change a good core of the company, or at its core, it is going to be the same as what we did last year. So that's, you know, a necessary part of the cycle. When we do a new show, we need a significant proportion of new people to join the company, to bring new energy, new and different skills, to make the show unique and different from the last one.
So what's unique and different about Bianco?
From Immortal and Taboo? Well, the people. The people and the skills that they bring create a different show. I think, you know, all of ours and Forenza's work, you know, it's, you know, you could say that the style is very much the same. The
it
format is.
Is
very much the same. An element, you know, an element of some of the devices we use are very much the same, because that's become the signature of ours and Forenza's work.
But there is something different, which is about how our design and rigging design has developed from being really, really basic in the first year of Immortal into something that brings a new, been able to change the environments of whichever performance it is, even though the style of the performance is the same.
Yeah. So, you know, with Bianco there, you know, the starting points is the scenography of the towers and the free space and the free movement. And everything is rigged and de-rigged in performance. And the themes that Forenza brings, you know, they're very different from each show. But actually, even within the lifestyle of Bianco, the themes change and evolve each year, and that's what keeps the show fresh. But at the core of it is that scenography and that perhaps overarching message. And the core of the routines from the core of the company that stays consistent throughout the project.
So what about the other stuff that both you and I have done in between? Because we both at some points have recognised that actually Bianco, the tent story, is ongoing and has become something that has to be out there generating income.
Well, we took 2 years out of the tent, of course, and did the residences at Eden. We did Labyrinth and the first Bianco, which was a commissioned Eden project. And I actually really enjoyed Labyrinth. I felt that Labyrinth was a project that I cooked up with the creative producer at Eden, and we presented Forenza with, okay, this is a project, this is what we're doing. And I really enjoyed the creative opportunity to kind of dictate the terms of what's different about the project. And that was great. You know, Labyrinth was a show of two halves. There was a finale sequence of an Ilford State Forenza show, just one half of a show on the main stage. And the first half of the show was site-specific kind of walk around Eden Project after it had closed for the night. So, you know, it was all lit differently. It looked very different. And we kind of put circus installations in the hidden corners. So people went around Eden and saw the space through different eyes, through different lens, and went on this big walk around and then came in for the finale piece of the show. That was a great project. The next year we did Eden. First Bianco was also a great project. It wasn't so much fun.
So basically, at some point, at the end of Immortal, that's the point where we basically, because I'd been producing and selling the Immortal for the first couple of years, and then you were on tour with it more and you were taking over more of the producing, and we were like put in a situation where we weren't both being able to work on the project, and so, but alongside that, we both had our own creative interests, and you were wanting to investigate theatre stuff, and I was interested in continuing the outdoor participatory journey, which being able to take the old set from the Immortal show,
yeah,
and put it outside and build, using the donut to build some structures to be able to start an investigatory journey.
So the first one of those was Swindon, wasn't it? That was pre-Park Life.
Pre-Park Life was just like, yeah, somebody commissioned us and gave us 25 grand and said put something... Well, it was Liz, who was working for Swindon Council.
Small world, isn't it?
And we won the commission for the outdoor show. And we sort of tried to restage Immortal, although it was at the same time Forenza was working somewhere else, so she couldn't direct it. But using some of the iconic routines, but trying to investigate how it might work outdoors. And that started there. And it was moderately successful, but raised some issues about outdoor circus for me and what makes outdoor circus interesting, because
with a budget of 25 grand, yeah.
It's like watching other outdoor shows, I've always felt like as an audience member you feel quite disconnected from the action, and the Park Life journey was about investigating how we could connect with an audience by using narrative or other ways of engaging with our public even before the show happens, like rehearsing in their parks and getting people to watch and asking the audience what they liked about what we were doing and what should go in the show, and what, so it was really direct
Well, yeah, and the quirky little happenings. I used to love it on coming to see the Park Life gigs, and in the mornings, you know, the company would all dress up and go and play golf in the park. But more than playing golf, they were trying to encourage the dog walkers to join in, and just to get people involved and having quirky little happenings of nonsense and all. That's a lovely dog. Does he do tricks? Does he want to be in the show? And just bringing people in. And I remember in Stockton. On the first day, the local kids, being what local kids are in the park, you know, we'd come to where they play football and they presented our presence, you know.
Well, actually, it was interesting, wasn't it? Because the year before, we'd been there with Immortal in the big tent, and we had loads of trouble with the kids. So I remember them winding up Paddy and Ruben and throwing stones at the tent.
But by the end of the week in Park Life, completely drawn them in and got them involved, and they were loving it, and you know, they were interacting with us in a completely different way.
So that was the start of the outdoor journey, which then went into Barricade, which was a French collaboration. At the same time, you were then starting on going...
I started an exploration into theatre work. Felt that there was, you know, the big shows, great, they're really big. There's a limit to the amount of places you can take them and a limit to the amount of people who can afford them. And there's a particular style of work that you need to do. The first one was a co-production with National Theatre of Wales and Tattoo Theatre. That was Mondo Parallelo. We did a big residency, first of all, in the Torch Theatre. And that was a really different show. I think we learned a lot about that and a lot about co-producing from that, because if we're honest about it, it probably ended up being more a Tattoo Theatre style show than a No Fit State show. It's still a great show. And we toured that for a year and decided actually that we'd like to try it again. Worked with a different director, worked with Maxim Promono from Finland, and we produced Noodles, which went through its own journey. It was a very interesting journey again, you know, in an uncharted territory, trying to do something new, something different, trying to take risks, not getting it right all the time. I think by the time we'd finished, the Noodles show was actually a really interesting piece of work. And the last tour of it, finishing at the Mime Festival in London, did really well. And who knows, maybe one day we'll get it back out of the cupboard and dust it off and do it again. But, you know, it was a great project to do, and I met a whole new bunch of people and looked at different ways of working, which I think as creative directors of the company is what we should... It's what excites us, what interests us. If we become bored and unexcited, how are we going to continue to make interesting work for the public?
Yeah. So that's taken us on kind of two separate journeys, and in a sense, the company almost split in that we were focusing on two different strands of work, one that was at large scale outdoors and participatory, which went through the Barricade phase, which was fantastic, playing in Angers in front of 10,000 people that were really excited about the show. It was the last place it got to, and from that and Park Life Open House, a lot of the stuff that Open House uses came from the investigation of Park Life, i.e. what type of skills can be good for outdoor circus, how do we engage communities, and how do we make it participatory? And that's become a model now that we've been touring for 2 years, where we go into a place and not only do a show, but a participatory section in the middle of the show, so people can see circus, have a go at it, understand what it's like to do circus, and then watch some shit hot circus and hopefully inspire them to be circus artists in the future, or at least engage us with circus as audiences.
Yeah, that and you know, the other fantastic thing I think that Open House does is it changes the way people look at their space. you know, occupying a town square or a park or a city centre location and getting people to play in that space and do something differently, and take ownership of it again, you know, and have fun in, you know, it's completely different. People just, you know, pedestrian precinct, they just walk through it on their way to the shops, but to stop in the middle of their town and get involved in something like that, I think leaves a little bit of a legacy in this.
Yeah, it's quite hard sometimes to engage those people that are walking through the town centre with a smartphone, even though there's something amazing going on right next to them. So in terms of what's next, we're here sitting at the edge of our 30 years.
Yeah, well, we've got all the great plans and all the great schemes you can imagine, but working at this scale now, it's all about the money, which has become a bit of a sad reflection on the world, I think, that you know, to get a new project off the ground takes time and it takes money. So Motion House National Ballet had no fixed date. That was a project we kicked around for a little while. Didn't happen, but did begin the relationship with Kevin at Motion House, which has now developed into the Block project. That's going to be a great project because, you know, not only will it be able to play to those smaller festivals, but, you know, the set is cheap and reproducible. You know,
portable one goes portable. Up and down in 20 minutes.
Yeah. It's like the, you know, the Circa model of touring. You know, they have a set of mats on every continent, and they travel around and they can just literally fly the artists in, fly the artists out. Well, you know, Block could become a show as successful as that, you know, quite really, really quite easily.